as I said, and I'm trying to, what happens sometimes in these moments is we can get excited and maybe try to get too much done at once instead of saying, let's just try to take it in little bite-sized pieces. So that's what I'm going to try to do, but I'm not normally a bite-sized piece guy, okay? I don't eat a piece of pie. I eat the whole pie, all right? I mean, when I see a steak, I don't say, ooh, I'll eat some of that now and save some of it for later. I said, I'm going to eat all that now. But I'm retraining myself to be a little more bite-sized piece guy, okay? All that carries over into when you're a prophetic guy who can sense things going on, you want to say everything that you think is happening all at once. And so I say all that at the beginning of this morning's message. I'm just to say, I don't want to do that. And you have permission to say, hold on. What was that? Slow down. Chill on that. And I'll try to respect. Now, if you say it in a mean way, I'll say be nicer than that. But you do have that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here in a way, God, that we can receive what you have to say, and that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking, and hearts to perceive, Lord, that which you're doing and that which you would have us to do. And Lord, we trust in your perfect leadership. Ask, Lord, that you would lead us into your wisdom, God, into your grace, into your kindness today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking a little bit at the prophet Daniel, perhaps, if we get there today. But, you know, to back up a little bit, as I said some weeks ago, and Kevin reiterated and others have said, we sense that the Holy Spirit is moving, specifically with what we would call restoring the ancient pathways. Okay, you've heard that. Which basically means just getting back to what God's about, and how to stay in the place of knowing what God's about. Because history proves people, even God's people, can be going along fine for a while and then forget what they're doing and spend a considerable amount of time marching off to a wrong trail before they realize, hey, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And then God lovingly corrects and gets some course correct and gets them back on path. And that's kind of a commonplace for anybody who's walked with the Lord for very long understands. If there's anything, all of you in here that are 50 years old or older, maybe 40 years old and older, that you need to understand is, you know, part of the most important thing you can do in your life is to let those younger than you know that that's how it happens. That they're not going to walk out perfectly all the things that God has for them. They're not going to hit a home run the first time up to the plate. They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. They're going to get back up again because God is gracious and merciful and kind. It's not how good they follow. It's about how good God's leadership is. It's not about how perfectly you do all the things. It's about how perfectly he's already done the things. And I say that to all you mothers and fathers in here. One of the very first things God ever said to us when we were moving into the ministry, the house of prayer, was that God had told us, be mothers and fathers. Raise up sons and daughters in the house of prayer. And that's one of the responsibilities that comes. You know, when Jan says she's concerned about the generations at hand, I'm concerned. But I'm concerned more that we don't lead them and encourage them in a way that we were led and encouraged. You know, I know many of you in here can say, so-and-so mentored us. I'm thinking about Derek and Marnie right now, but there was a couple who loved them and encouraged them, and they spoke of them often about, hey, these people really took us under their wings. And I imagine you guys have some of those. And if you don't have some of those, you need to get some of those. And if you're not being some of those, you need to be some of those that are gathering people under your wings. And that encourage somebody younger than you that's going through difficulty, that God's faithfulness can be trusted. He's trustworthy and he's kind and he's good. I encourage you. And I say this, you know, I'm looking across this room and I'm thinking, hey, young ladies in this house, you wanna know how God thinks, you want some wisdom from God, get a hold of Sharon, okay? Ask Jan. Talk to Mary Lou. Why am I saying this? Because I've watched them as women of God navigate difficult situations that you are inevitably going to encounter. And they can tell you how to do it and still have the joy of the Lord at the end of the day. But that's for another day. This morning, We're going to talk about being prophetic people and understanding what it means to be a prophetic community. And that's why when the Holy Spirit's moving, I'm recognizing he's doing things. But who in here, I'll just go with this, who in here has ever received a prophetic word? Okay. All right, great. Who in here has ever perceived a prophetic word that hasn't been fulfilled yet? Okay, all right, that's good. That's good. Who in here has ever received a prophetic word that it seems outlandish in its description? Okay, there's a few of those. I need somebody to be really courageous and just shout out, what was outlandish about it? Justin, you raise your hand. What was outlandish about it? Okay, specifically, what you mind saying? It was what you're gonna go to the nation. What was outlandish about it? Okay, the nations are in your heart. That's a given. Okay, Micah, Femi, you guys both had your hands up. What? Tell me one of the promises that God has made that seems to just beyond possibility. You're going to have a massive call and have influence in high places. All right, Joel, you had your hand raised. These are all about nations, isn't that something? Yeah, John. Okay. All right. Who else? Somebody else? Just one or two more. Just something that seems outlandish that God says that you're like, is that really ever going to happen? Come on, don't be shy. All right, well, we got the idea anyhow. Three or four people going, this is so, I mean, it's really so far-fetched that if it weren't for God, it would be absolutely impossible, right? And that's kind of the nature of some of the prophetic things that go on. I can go back to, and I brought this sign up here, because in 2004, God encountered me profoundly in the middle of the night through a series of dreams and then a phone call in the middle of the night, and he gave me this word for the city of Springfield. And I just knew it was for the city of Springfield. I knew that God was going to do something in our midst. Now, so what is that, 15 years ago, September, just for last month, it was 15 years ago, last month. And the word that the Lord gave me was that I'll cleanse them from all the sin they've committed against me. I'll forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. And this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations of the earth that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. Okay, so 15 years ago, the Lord gives me a word that I believe is for the city of repentance and cleansing, and then the nations rejoicing, the nations being, if you will, blessed by the city that I call my home and that many of you call your home. And some of the benchmarks, some of the earmarks, some of the identifiers of what the Lord was going to do that caused the nations to be blessed was that they would be abundant prosperity and peace. All right? Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, that hasn't happened. So God didn't really mean it, right? So what? That's somebody else's responsibility. Well, God didn't give it to somebody else. Yeah, but it's hard. And life has been real difficult in 15 years, and I'm telling you, it's been difficult. And I've got a lot of reason to quit, and nobody would blame me if I did. Except God deposited his spirit in my heart and in your heart, guaranteeing what's to come. That's what he said in his word. And you can run, but you cannot hide. Now, I say all that, I want to set up what I have heard over a period of time, because I'm old enough now where I've seen prophetic words that were prophesied 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago happen. And some of you aren't old enough to see that. You haven't seen that. If I would ask Jude, how many prophetic words have you heard and then see manifest in the nations? He'd say, nada. Today that's going to change. But I want you to be prepared to understand that it's not about the message you're going to see here in a minute, because I'm going to take about a 10-minute, 15-minute thing, and I'm going to show you a video. But it's about, in my time, somebody prophesied that 9/11 was going to happen, and it happened before it happened. In my time, I heard Chuck Pierce prophesy about Hurricane Katrina 1 year to the day before it happened, and it happened. Okay, to in my day, a guy named Bob Jones in the 70s prophesied about smartphones and people in Asia on smartphones before anybody knew what a smartphone was. And 30 years later, but after this guy was dead and gone, the smartphones, people were standing in rice paddies in his dream, understanding that it was in Asia, that smartphones were connecting the gospel to the nations, specifically the nation of the nations in Asia, which are, even in this moment, were some of the fastest growing kingdom gospel messages are transpiring in the earth. Okay, so what I'm going to show you here in a moment is a video from Kim Clement. And if you don't know who Kim is, he's a South African. He's passed away. He's gone on to be with the Lord a few years ago. But it's a profound and kind of wow some things. His daughter's going to share it a little bit. And so I'm going to ask you to stay engaged. It's about the times and the seasons that we're in right now. So with all that, that hopefully has given Naya enough time to cue it up. Curtis, enough time to make sure the main speakers are on. They're working hard back there. And I'll say, watch this.
Welcome to this special Code Breakers today, and thank you for joining us. My name is Donna Clement Petrushka, and I am Kim Clement's daughter. There are so many of you who have only recently learned who my dad was, and many who have followed and supported this ministry for so many years, decades even. With the increasing pressure on the current administration, which has culminated now to the point of an impeachment inquiry via the Democratic-controlled Congress, I find it crucial to share with you what God showed my dad years and years ago. In 2007, from Redding, California, my dad prophesied this.
This that shall take place shall be the most unusual thing, a transfiguration, going into the marketplace, if you wish, into the news media, where Time magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say. Newsweek, what I want to say. The View, what I want to say. Trump shall become a trumpet, says the Lord. No, you didn't hear me. Trump shall become a trumpet. Are you listening to me? I will raise up the Trump to become a trumpet.
The prophecy you just saw was the first in a long list of prophecies that God revealed to my dad, Kim Clement, regarding Donald Trump becoming president. We have seen those prophecies fulfilled, even in regard to news outlets and television shows who are under more and more scrutiny to report honestly and fairly. But there was one particular day in 2014, prior to the 2016 presidential candidates announcing that they would be running for president. The date was February 22nd, 2014, and on that day, my dad, Kim Clement, saw with unbelievable precision and accuracy what would happen in the 2016 presidential election and beyond that. I want to show you some clips from that day now.
Hear me, for I have found a man after my own heart. I have found a man after my own heart, and he is amongst you. He is one of the brothers but singled out for presidency of the United States of America. And then I heard gold. I wasn't sure if this was attached to his name, but he said to me, he will restore the fortunes in this nation because of his brilliance. I couldn't quite see his face because that was not allowed, because there was a mist that covered all the people and he was amongst them. And the Spirit of God made me look at him and he said, this man will throttle the enemies of Israel. This man will throttle the enemies of the West. And there are highly embarrassing moments that are about to occur for many, many politicians in this nation. There will be a shaking amongst the Democrats in the upcoming elections, but unsettling for the Republicans. Why is God doing this? For God said, I am dissatisfied with what emerges from both parties. And then there is a nation, he showed me and took me, itching for a new kind of war with America. They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say. But nay. This nation shall come very subtly. But he shall not come in the time of President Obama.
We have seen Donald Trump become president. We know that his trademark color is gold, and we know that our economy has flourished under his presidency. For anyone who hasn't seen all of the Trump prophecies, I will be bringing them to you soon. I recently posted a video containing all of these prophecies on my personal YouTube channel, and it was immediately censored and deemed inappropriate. If you want to see it, search for my page, Dawn A. Clement Petrushka, on YouTube, and watch it. I've also posted a link to this video on our Facebook pages, and it will soon be up on the official Kim Clement YouTube channel and the new House of Destiny YouTube channel. But from what we just saw in the prophecy from February of 2014, also refers to President Trump standing firmly with Israel, even moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And I was there in Israel the day this was officially done. But today, I want to focus on the subject of impeachment. As you just heard, God showed my dad that there would be highly embarrassing moments for many politicians in America, in both parties. We've certainly seen that since the last election cycle. But most remarkable is the fact that God showed my dad how they would shout, impeach, impeach, but nay. Now, nay is not a word I ever heard my father use. So this indicates to me the language used when there is a vote within the House or the Senate, anything like that, they'll say yay or nay. The reference to a nation itching for a new kind of war with America appears to be a cyber war at this stage, but I always watch and wait before definitively presenting anything as fact. We do know that the phone call between the new Ukrainian president and President Trump contained a discussion about corruption in the 2016 election, where hacking and cyber activity was involved. So let's hear what else God showed my dad that day and pay careful attention to his reference to Ukraine, a country God had my dad put his boots on the ground later that same year, 2014.
And I have now kindled a fire in Zion. I have kindled a fire in Zion, in America, in nations throughout the earth, and my fist is about to smack down on Russia. For out of the rebellion, turn me up just a little, out of the rebellion of the Ukraine, which was seen by my prophet, shall come out of those ashes beauty. Yes. Shall come out of that sadness joy. Shall come out of those garments praise, says the Lord. I have searched for a man and a woman who would stand in the Oval Office and pray and call for the restoration of the fortunes of Zion.
What stood out the most to me in this part of the prophecy is that my dad referred first to Russia and then to Ukraine. We all know the issues surrounding Russia and Ukraine, but also knowing that prophecy is a glimpse into the future and looking through a glass darkly because we prophesy in part, I recognize something that may not be obvious, but it did stand out to me. We have seen over the past 2 years a very long investigation into President Trump and allegations that he was involved in Russian collusion. Until there was no evidence of said collusion, at which time charges shifted to obstruction. Regardless, this investigation ended with no concrete evidence that the Trump administration colluded with Russia or obstructed anything, particularly because the White House and administration cooperated with all demands regarding that investigation. Not long after the conclusion of the Mueller report and investigation, it appears that the fist was smacked down on the Russian collusion allegations. Notice that the very next part of the prophecy refers to Ukraine, and we are now watching an impeachment inquiry revolving around a phone call in Ukraine. So in the prophecy, God said his fist would smack down on Russia, but out of Ukraine would come beauty from ashes, joy out of sadness, and garments of praise. Could this be a glimpse as to the order in which these endless investigations have gone and how they will end up? A person who keeps coming up is Rudy Giuliani, who was first mentioned by the Ukrainian president on the call with President Trump. Now, the transcript of this call was recently released to the public, declassified and unredacted, something that has never been done before. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. It's available online. But right in the middle of all the controversy surrounding this call is Rudy Giuliani, personal lawyer to the president and former mayor of New York. Now, I remember well seeing then-Mayor Giuliani in the streets of New York on 9/11, covered in dust and debris, trying to help the people on the ground as the city and our country endured the worst attack on American soil in the history of the United States. My dad prophesied 9/11 from Dearborn, Michigan in 1996. Now, on February 21st, 2015, almost a year to the day after the 2014 prophecy where God showed my dad so much, including the cries for impeachment, my dad said this about Rudy Giuliani. And during that time, great prophets shall arise from the earth, and they shall stand and reveal. These are not prophets that are necessarily in the religious organizations, but prophets like I chose, Netanyahu, Rudy Giuliani. Oh, you may mock him, but I made him a watchman in this country. Now, watch what he prophesied about Giuliani on the same day that he prophesied that Trump would become a trumpet in Redding, California in 2007.
For God said, I am breathing upon the people of this nation. I am breathing upon the churches that are going down, and I'm bringing them up, says the Spirit of God. I am breathing upon the political powers that be. For God said, I will not forget 9/11. I will not forget what took place that day. And I will not forget the gatekeeper that watched over New York, who will once again stand and watch over this nation, says the Spirit of God.
I find these connections to be remarkable, especially considering how long ago God showed these details to my dad, in glimpses that we can now look at through spiritual eyes and in seeking the will of God over man. I encourage all of you to guard yourself against the influence of news media and talking heads with so many opinions and falsehoods that cause a haze and confusion to fall on the people. Let us pray for our leaders and seek not our will, but God's will to be done in all of this.
I urge House leadership, many of my colleagues, to take action to impeach this lawless president today.
I rise to announce that on next week, Mr. Speaker, I will bring a privilege resolution before the Congress of the United States of America. I will stand here in the well of the Congress and I will call for the impeachment of the President of the United States of America.
There'll be discussion as to whether when we draft or when the judiciary examines the question on filing potential articles of impeachment.
When she announced a formal impeachment inquiry into the president today, she listed off the six committees that have been investigating the president already.
How do you feel about Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats moving forward with Trump's impeachment, finally?
At last.
At last.
Look, we've been pushing on this for 2 years.
The speaker has moved very decisively. She now knows that she has the support of most of the caucus, and she has formalized the impeachment inquiry, and I support that.
I think that compels us to travel down the road towards impeachment, so I fully support the speaker's decision.
Before we go, I want to show you another clip from February 22nd of 2014, where my dad prophesied about impeachment a second time on the same day.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, but this shall not happen. And then God says, highly embarrassing moments when another Snowden arises. And people will become very afraid. They'll say, we have no protection. And then God says, am I impressed with your weapons of war? Am I impressed with the strength of your men's legs? Ha! I have said I will bring this nation to its knees. And God said, you have been humbled. And yet some more. And then you shall hear the sounds of great victory. For where are the people gathered? Where are my people gathered? Where is the sound of unity from my people?
Get ready to hear the sounds of great victory. Thank you for joining me today for this Code Breakers special report. Regardless of your political leanings, your personal opinions, or things you've seen, read, or heard, one thing is certain. God warned us in advance of the things that would happen in this season. As Christians, we are responsible to pray and behave as Christ would have us do. We are living in an historical time, and we, as the people of Christ, have a responsibility to do what God wants above the desires of man and the tricks of the enemy to cripple us. We are the warriors. We are prophetic people, and we will stand firm and in unity as the world around us is so divided, chaotic, and unhinged. I say God's got this. Have faith in Him. I also want to take this opportunity to thank...
That's good right there. That was enough. Okay. Now, again, what she said at the end, regardless of your political affiliation or anything... We're living in an amazing time, and it was prophesied years before any of you even heard the name of a guy named Kim Clement, probably most of you. And the idea that 2 years before the election, somebody sang Trump as a trumpet, and that there would be an impeachment. I say all that to say that's not the only thing that's going on. What else is going on is what I want to look into with you. What is God saying and has God said about you and your life, about your family, about your city, about your ministry, about your calling? I got this out because, I mean, I don't know how to not be real. I don't. But, you know, that was in the old house of prayer for years. And I don't have, I mean, I'm just being honest. I was like, oh, I guess that's done. I guess that's not going to happen. I guess this isn't. But yet, as I stand here, I'm going, no, the Lord is breathing on it again. And how is it going to transpire? I don't know. I'm not going to get into my message because I didn't know how long some of this would take. But I want to share a couple other things that have happened because sometimes that's just what we do. This is what I know. And I'll say it a little bit. We'll look at it. But Daniel was a prophet. And one of the things that it said about Daniel in the first chapter of Daniel was that, you know, he was a young person. He was a kid who was taken into captivity with some other young people. And in their captivity, he was picked out as somebody who was handsome and smart and good looking. But it said there was one other thing about him. He had the ability to understand dreams and visions. It was just one of those, oh, and by the way, he interprets dreams. But later through the book of Daniel, you find something out about him is that he has lots of dreams and visions, and he never understands them. He gets stuff from God, and it says he's terrified, and he feels sick about it, and he doesn't know what to do, but he's got a pattern in his life. This is the same Daniel who was caught worshiping God, and a decree had been made that said, if you worship anybody other than our king, you're going to be put to death, and it didn't stop him. His lifestyle was to seek God three times a day. And so when his enemies reported him to the king and said, well, king, you know how decrees are in our country. Once they're made, they can't be made. You got to kill him. Throw him in the lion's den. He was thrown in the lion's den, and he was spared. The king recognized what was going on through his accusers in the lion's den. They weren't spared. And the reality was that was his lifestyle. He started the first chapter of Daniel. His lifestyle was, they offered him all the king's food, his wine, his delicacies. And he said, no, just give me the veggies. I'm going strict veggie. Keep the wine, keep the meat, keep the sweets. I'm living in a fasted way because in my heart, I know who the king is. And if I acknowledge and begin to become comfortable and begin to accept all the things that this king wants me to, it's one step closer to me permitting him to continue to hold me and my people in bondage. So I fast those things. I deny myself those things that I could have, but I'm going to live a fasted lifestyle. And I'm going to live in a place of denying short myself pleasures because the long-term goal is God has a plan and I want to walk in it. So we can fast forward up to his Daniel 7, 8, and 9. He has a dream and vision in every one of those encounters. One is a dream, one is a vision, and one is actually a revelation from Scripture. But regardless of which, he does something in all of those. And it is immediately says, I need to seek God. I need to ask God. I need to pursue God. God, you just showed me a bunch of stuff. God, you just spoke. God, you just revisited my heart with a prophecy that was centuries old. But right now, it's alive in me like it came today. And so he seeks God and says, God, I want to see what it is you mean by this. God, I want to know what it is you're saying through this. I want to submit to you today that that's got to be the position of our hearts in this season. That stirring yourself again to say, does God have a plan for me really? And then wait for him to answer and keep seeking until he answers. Because it's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes to look at the brokenness that we look at in our life, the dysfunction that we see, the location, the geography, the financial situation, the education, the visa this, the broken relationship, the lost, the dead, the deceased loved one, all the things that our life has gotten encumbered with and go, how could God have a plan out of this mess? And I tell you, he has a plan, and it's a good one. Thursday before two Sundays ago, we had our International Sunday, right? And we're so thankful. You know, God has given us a call to the nations. It's funny how many of the prophetic words that we heard that seem prosperous, you know the word I'm saying. Easy for me to say, right? Do with the nations. Isn't that something? That we said three or four of them, the one in front here, but they all talk about the nations. How isn't that a coinky dink? Or is God trying to get through to us that your call to the nations is yet to be fulfilled? That your call to the nations is real. And you don't have to figure out how it's going to work, and you don't have to run after it. You just have to draw near to him. So here we go. Thursday before International Sunday, I'm thinking about my friend from time to time, getting ready to call him. That is Timothy Carr. Many of you know Timothy. He was served in this house for a couple years, he and his family. He's what I would call a modern-day prophet. And just out of the blue, of course, while I'm thinking about him, that's kind of how it works sometimes. You don't know how many times I think, man, I'm just wondering, I'll say, it doesn't even matter. I say, well, you know, my wife's going to call or Greg's going to call. I mean, I'll have the idea. And within minutes, that person I just thought of called. Selene knows I'm talking to you. Yep, that happens. What is that? That's the Lord saying, where's your phone? Because they're going to call. So he texted me this. They're coming. A new influx of young adults. They're coming back to open the doors again. Now, I'll just say this. probably 2 weeks before that, in the briefing before worship, I think Emily was there. I don't know who else was in there, but I actually said, I have a feeling that God is blowing the wind again. I don't know who, if you were in that room that day that I said that, you know, say, yeah, you remember. Okay, thanks, Celine. I know somebody else was in there. And so that was already, he had my attention because I just said that to somebody a week or two before. The nations are arriving. Another wave, and you're going out, gathering the young grains of wheat, the handmaidens and the psalmists, the singers. There is more, and it's deep. It's happening, government leadership transformation. I see the flag over the city. It is a kingdom international national flag. The Lord says, I'm filling the vacancies, and again, my young men and women will come to their feet and hear the sound of truth, righteousness, and transformation. I was like, yay! He wasn't done. Opposition will fizzle out. It's about the Lord tipping the scales, the clarity of the Spirit of the Lord, married to a mighty, beautiful, holy conviction. The Lord says, I'm separating out the non-drinkable water from the drinkable water. The rivers again will flow in clarity, and the word of the Lord will be trumpeted. He stops and takes a breath and says something like, I need to get out there because the Lord's really been on me for you guys. And I was like, yeah, you do, come. And then he says, I see strongholds toppling over. The wind of the Lord's conviction in the life of the Spirit of his word, shaking and baking all that man has created. I say this to you, Scott and Kelly, the Lord says to you, well done. You've been through the tempered and the tempest, the thieves and the robbers, the liars and the murderers. And the Lord says to you, O sons of Jacob, I will arise and put a mighty sword in your hand. And the word of the Lord will go out before you. Behold, I will gather to you the prophets and the apostles, and the Lord said, mighty works and glory will come from this house of belonging. Not one of my words and my visions that I have displayed to you will go on and go unanswered. The Lord says, you will see the fullness of days fulfilled. That's for all of you. That's for all those words. It's not just for me. It's for this house. It's an encouragement. And it's a reminder that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. You know, you start those prophecies in 07 and you go, you know, whatever, 7 years later, he prophesies again, and 5 years later, he prophesies something else again. He dies, and then the things that he prophesies all start happening. You go, wow. I want you to be encouraged that God hasn't forgot you, nor the word that he gave you. I want you to be mindful that you have a responsibility with those promises. Some of you are going, I don't even have any promises. Well, you have a responsibility to get a hold of him because he has them for you. You're not disqualified because you don't know what God's promises are. You will be asked. There will be a test. We will all stand before the Lord, that's what it says, and give account. And he'll ask, what did you do with the promises? What did you do when I said, I want to do this and so with you? Did you let go of it because it was hard, or did you press in and say, God, I trust you even though I don't understand? That's the call. That's the invitation today. You know, I've got more, but as I said before, over the weeks that come, we're going to be unpacking some of the things that the Lord is saying. I encourage you, do what you can to try to be present and invite those brothers and sisters who are connected at this house to be present, to adjust, whatever you can do. We're going to record things, that's true, but there's always that element of being present as the Lord is moving and doing these things. I don't know everything he's going to do. I don't pretend like I do, but I have enough confidence and faith that it's going to be good, that it's going to be God, and you're going to be blessed. And that's good enough for me. Hopefully that's good enough for you. Stand with me if you will. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, we are. That's what we're getting standing for. Sit back down. Greg has something.
I just want to share something that hopefully it'll just be a confirmation that God is doing something. It's really not about me. When Scott was asking if you'd had a prophetic word that seemed outlandish, in September of 2000, I was given a prophetic word. There was two parts of it. The first part was this gentleman tells me that God had called me to ministry. And at that season in my life, I served in the church, but the idea of being in ministry was not there. And he told me, he said, God has, he said, you're going to be called to a ministry of restoration of men and women. And he said, you don't believe this. You don't believe you're called. He said, but God's already sent a man to you. A few months before, Jay Jackson came up to me and wanted to talk and shared some stuff that he had never shared with any other human being. The reason I bring that up is in the last 3 weeks, both my wife and I have had significant encounters. And I won't go into them, but the only thing we were just talking the other night, Mary's had 2 dreams in the last 5 days. And she doesn't dream a lot. But the significance of the last 3 weeks, the only thing that Mary and I know is God is doing something and molding and changing us, her and I. But we also feel very significantly it has something to do with the church at large and this church particularly. So I just felt a need to share that.
Okay, now our ushers, if you come, we're gonna receive our communion. As we, the reason I want to do this at the end, okay, is because Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. I want the children to come if we could get them. I want to be able to say, if there's somebody who can go get the kids, well, wait a minute. But the idea here is that we say, God, yes, again. We say, God, we remember again what you've spoken to us. We say, God, we even as you've committed to us and you've been so gracious to us to give us, as the lady said, you know, I didn't, this isn't really about, I mean, it is kind of, but this isn't really about, hey, the political climate of our nation. It is about the climate of our heart. That is one thing that we're called as believers to pray into. Don't get me wrong, but we're called to pray into all the prophetic promises. We're called to stand and believe all that God has said is true. If we needed a little bit of boost that God said it and God meant it, that was what my hope was, that you saw something pretty hard to dispute. That because there's a whole lot of people that would say, well, because Donald Trump uses cuss words, God didn't send him. Well, guess what? I whether he uses them or not, well, because he's not very eloquent, well, guess what? Only thing I know is before he was ever thought about as the president's nomination, somebody who knows God prophesied that he'd be in this moment, and we're in that moment. Instead of deciding what it means based on our filter, we need to be say, God, you're up to something. Help me to be humble and hear what it is you're up to. I don't want to have that filter on when you speak to me about what you have me do. I don't want you to speak. I don't want to have that filter on when you speak to what my brother or sister is going to have, but I'll say, no, I can't. You know, they're too young, or they're too this, or they're too crass, or they're too that. No, no. So today, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion, it is a, God, remove my filters that aren't you. It is a, God, I want to see things through your lens. It is, God, I want to remember all that you've done, all that you've said, and I want to agree with it. I don't want to sit in the bleachers as a spectator saying, God, I hope you perform your word, but I want to sit at the table and say, God, how can I agree with the performance of your word? That's the purpose of our, yeah, you guys come sit with your family if you want. You know, you don't have to hang out there at the door, but we're going to receive communion this morning. So if our ushers would come. And I'll just do a request that maybe somebody put a little music on, and I'm going to pray over this. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just receive our, we'll come forward, we'll receive our communion elements now, and then we'll, I'm taking them after everybody's been served. So stand forward, you can come forward. You don't have to be a member here to take communion. You just have to say, I'm living for Jesus. And be sincere about it. Well, instead of music, I'm going to sing. Silence is golden, Greg says. You like silence? All right. Well, you won then. I sometimes we get a little too serious in church, and so that's okay. Did everybody get surfed that wants to be? Okay, great. So when we receive Jesus, receive him completely. Today, as we prepare our hearts to receive this communion, his body and his blood, I want it to include his promises, the words that he's spoken over you, the encouragements. I wanted to include his hope and his peace. You know, like I said, there might be somebody in here that goes, well, I haven't gotten any promises from him yet. Oh, they're coming. They're coming. As you receive this communion today, I want to set your heart in a place of faith, making the declaration that the promises that God has for me, they're real and they're coming. The promises that the words, that the things that he's spoken to me in times past and they even seem faded, they're just as real now as they ever were. That today, as we follow his command to do this as often as you like, in remembrance of me, remember that he's faithful and that his leadership is perfect and that he's trustworthy. He doesn't just say, I am true. He said, I am the truth. He's not a man that he should lie. So, Father, we love you, and we just take this moment, God, to remember the promises. We ask your Holy Spirit even now to bring back to our recollection the things you've spoken over our lives that seem outlandish and preposterous, impossible beyond belief. But God, because you spoke them, we say today, God, we believe again. We receive them again. We stir ourselves, Lord, out of our unbelief and into the place of faith that you who are faithful will bring it to pass. We thank you, Lord, that you saw fit to cause us to be saved and born in such a time as this, that you purchased for us all that's necessary to see the fullness of your promises fulfilled in our day. With the brokenness of your body, Lord, you purchase our healing, our life, our identity. I would thank you that you are the bread of life. Let's take the bread together. God, it was the shedding of the innocent blood of the Lamb of God that redeemed us, that washed us, that made us fit to be adopted into your family, to be vessels of your Holy Spirit, to be those who carry your life to the nations and anywhere else you send us. Lord, we thank you today for the precious blood And I'll remember it and so that its power continue to have its work in us today. As we take this cup together, let's take the cup. Stand with me if you would. Father, as we go, we thank you for your peace and your power, your provision and your protection. Lord, we thank you for the light of your countenance shining upon us. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit stirs within us, Lord, the faith to trust and to believe. Lord, the endurance to walk the walk, not like it's a sprint, Lord, but understanding it's a marathon. And Lord, we thank you that you connect us with brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, those, Lord, who know what you've said, who remind us when we're down, who encourage us, Lord, when we're off a little bit, Lord, that we're on a mission with you. And if God is for us, who can be against us? God, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day. And I will see you next week, if not sooner.